Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Jill Santopolo. She is out with a new novel. It's called Everything After. It's available now wherever books are sold. I fell in love with her writing with The Light We Lost. It was a New York Times bestseller from a few years back, and Jill's out with this new one. Jill, this is another fantastic book. It gets me away from these genre fiction of just, you know, crimes and there's a cop and all that stuff. You know, this is a good book as far as getting you away from all that, but can you kind of set up the plot for us? Because I'm terrible at giving too much away.
All right. These plot setups are like my kryptonite, but here I go. So it's about a woman named Emily Gold who's mostly happily married in New York City, and then she and her husband are trying to start a family, and something happens that echoes something that happened in her past, and secrets are revealed that her husband didn't know about her. And at the same time, she hears a song on the radio and realizes it's her old boyfriend singing about her. And her whole world gets turned upside down, and she has to decide whether she's been following the right path all along or whether her life is meant to be different.
See, that deal with the radio song, I love that, and I thought it was such a great little twist in here. But when you sat down and started jotting out this story or outlining it or however you do, was that something that was on your mind at the beginning? Because that sounds like something that's it's almost a prompt that you went off in a different direction, probably just a light that went on in your head at some point.
Yeah, you know, I always think about artists, and I actually did it in The Light We Lost, too, with a photography exhibit. But I think about people who date artists and how that relationship could potentially feed the art. So, you know, you date a writer, you could have a book where you see yourself, or you date an artist and there could be a painting, or you date a musician and there could be a song about you. And what does it mean to be someone's muse in that way, whether the relationship was good or bad or the song is good or bad? You know, what kind of connection do you have to someone when you can inspire their art, and what does that mean?
Well, and then did you have to dig deep within yourself to find what the reaction to that would be? Because some people could take that as very creepy.
I guess. You know, I think it probably depends on the mindset the person is in when this happens, right? And in Everything After, Emily is in a kind of vulnerable place. So she sees this song as almost a compliment, a confidence booster, something that makes her feel good and remember a time when she was happier.
With the things that happen in this marriage, it seems like nobody can write about a marriage that's good. There's always problems because there's always problems in every marriage. But when I know that you had to sit down and talk to women, wives, people in relationships who've gone through these type of things, how willing are they to talk to authors, to artists about that, knowing that they're kind of bearing their soul to perhaps a stranger?
Well, so I actually ended up talking to a lot of friends. I think the unfortunate part, as you're a woman, you know, I'm going to be 40 at the end of this month. So as you sort of get through your childbearing years, is that you end up with lots of friends who have experienced miscarriage, which is what happens to Emily in this book. And women speak to women, I think, about them. They speak to their friends about them more than they speak publicly or, you know, to strangers, as you were saying. So a lot of the women that I talked to in researching this story were good friends of mine who had gone through an experience and were talking to me at that point in time about it, and then were talking to me again when I was writing this book, and were really generous in sharing themselves. You know, as friends and as researcher.
Well, did you notice a common theme among the stories or the experiences that they would share? Did you have to blend a lot of these together to create Emily?
I did. I did a bit of blending. There were a couple of things that did sort of echo from woman to woman, and the main one was just how isolating it felt, because there is societally almost a sense of shame that there should not be, you know, when this happens. And it's something that I think, at least from the people I spoke to, the woman feels more deeply than the man does in a relationship, which then can cause problems potentially, which is what happens here. And that's not to say that a man is not upset when, you know, his partner has a miscarriage. Of course he is. But I think it seemed that the response was just different.
Did you have an easier time writing the Emily character versus any other ones in the book?
I think I have to get to know all of my characters. So at the beginning of all of my books, they're all a little bit difficult because I'm not sure exactly how they would respond or react or what they would say or think. But then once I get into the story, I feel like I know them a lot better, and I could put them in any situation and know exactly how they'd react or respond.
When you write like that, and I'm always fascinated with writers who write different characters, and, you know, I think of it as Seth MacFarlane doing the voices on Family Guy. He has to switch from one to the next, you know, from Peter to Stewie or whatever. Do you have that experience when you're writing, that you write a lot of the same voice, and then you've got to, you know, clear off the Etch-a-Sketch and get into the voice of the male character or the protagonist or antagonist, whatever it happens to be? And do you have a tough time switching between there? Is that something you can train yourself to do?
You know, it's really interesting because a lot of writers that I have met have also, as children or teens or in their early 20s, whatever, been involved in theater. And I was one of those people. I acted all through high school and college and a little bit after college. I'm not a great actress at all by any stretch of the imagination, but I love it. And I think that in the same way that an actor kind of has to get into each character, I do that as a fiction writer. So I know each character the way I used to do, you know, background work on each of the characters that I would portray in a show.
I'm chatting with Jill Santopolo about her brand new book, Everything After. It's a novel. It's out. It's available wherever your books are sold. I know you have a history in the publishing industry, and you've edited tons of books that have become bestsellers and are written by some names that we all know, Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Chelsea Clinton, just to name a couple. But when you are an author yourself and you're reading other people's work, is there something you consciously do to put that in a vault so you don't subconsciously or implicitly take something from it and say, you know what, oh, I think I read that somewhere else, I can't use that? Or is that a conversation you have with yourself in your mind?
That's really funny. I do think that when I'm editing books, I edit children's books, so, and mostly picture books, so they're very different than what I write, which I think is on purpose. You know, I think it would be hard for me, at least, to edit the exact same kind of books that I write, but editing children's books and writing adult novels kind of separates them in a way. But I do think that there are definitely times where I'll think of something and I'll be like, wait, is that something that I read somewhere else? Because if so, I can't use it. I have to think of something else.
And I would think that with a conversation between a husband and wife, there's a lot of things in the book that you probably, when you do your first draft, the thing's 6 pages long and you maybe save one sentence from it. Do you have that experience where you'll get one good sentence out of maybe 6 pages of work?
Yes, that definitely happened to me. Less so with Everything After and more so with More Than Words, my second book. I rewrote that book so many times, and I literally think there may be 3 paragraphs from the first draft of More Than Words that made it into the final copy. Sometimes stories just really, really morph and change, and characters morph and change, and that was a book where that really happened a lot.
Well, and that's got to be, I mean, to those of us on the outside, that's got to be disheartening. You get through an entire story and that most of us would think is probably great, but you can't please yourself with it. And is that something that you deal with, or is it just part of being an author?
It's frustrating, for sure. But I feel like I accept it as sometimes it's part of the process. Sometimes you kind of need a training wheels draft to sort of figure out what you want to say and realize that you haven't said it. And And I think a lot of times, too, getting feedback from a writer's group or my agent or my editor makes it clear whether I've actually done what I set out to do with the story. And oftentimes when I hear some responses, I think, oh, I didn't do it yet. I've got to keep going.
You've been on the New York Times best-selling list, sold a bunch of books. How long before you actually considered yourself a writer, above all else?
I don't know if I do yet.
Really?
I consider a writer being very much a part of who I am, but I also consider myself an editor and a mom and a wife and a whole bunch of other things.
It's fascinating stuff. This book is, I enjoyed the heck out of it. It got me away from all the other crap that I read. And this is just an excellent book. It's called Everything After. It's by Jill Santopolo. The book's available wherever. It's a fantastic book. You're not going to get the shoot 'em up bang bangs here. No genre fiction for Jill. Jill, just a fantastic novel. And thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. So I don't have to-